so formally introduced before I preach. So thank you. Thank you for your prayer. Really appreciate it. And thank you, praise team. Thank you, church, for giving me this opportunity to share God's word with you this morning. The title of today's sermon is Christ-Centered Family. And of course, our church this year theme is building a Christ-centered church family. So before I start, let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning. We worship you by listening to your word and by praying and by giving offering to you. And for you are worthy of our worship. Lord, as we are going to ponder on Ephesians chapter 6 this morning, Lord, may the Holy Spirit be with us and let our hearts turn towards you and give you glory. So, Lord, give us a humble spirit and give us a teachable heart. And may your name be glorified. And we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, scripture, as I mentioned earlier, and also Ken has already read to us, is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. The reason being that I picked this scripture is because if I look at the English congregation, we have relatively large population of young people, children or minors. And so I like to spend some time to study God's word with you this morning. And if I talk to the children, then I should also talk to the parents. So verses 1 to 4, chapter 6 of Ephesians is an appropriate passage. So let's go to it. Verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now, children here in the context of family can be anyone from a young children to a small children to a young people before they start their own family. And children, obey your parents. This command is so basic to have a home works or have a family function properly. Obey your parents in the Lord. This can mean that, okay, of course, we assume that we have a Christian family, first of all. And obey your parents in the Lord mean obey your parents when our parents teach us based on the teaching of the Bible. And even though if some of us, our family, our parents are not Christian, when they teach us, we still need to obey them unless the teaching is in contrary with the teaching of the Bible. And obey your parents in the Lord can also mean that obey our parents as if we are obeying our Lord. Obey our parents for Jesus' sake. Obey our parents for the honor of the Lord, for the blessing of the Lord, because we love Jesus. And in the Old Testament time, Solomon, inspired by God, and wrote the book of Proverbs. Now, if we have read the book, we know that throughout the entire book, starting from chapter 1 of Proverbs, it keeps telling us, children, to listen and to obey to our father's teaching and discipline. And I give you two examples. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 4 and 10. "Hear, O son, a father's instruction, and be attentive, that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only son in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live.'" Verse 10, hear my son and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. And we can find similar passages throughout the book of Proverbs that children listen and obey to our parents' teaching and the disciplines. Now, the thing is this, when we obey our parents, we obey God, because God commands us to obey our parents. Parents ordained by God to have authority over us. If we do not obey our parents, whom we can see, how can we obey our God, whom we cannot see? And let's continue in verses 2 and 3. It says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Honor your parents, honor your father and mother is so basic to civilization that this command was given in the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, God gave these Ten Commandments to the nation of Israel when the nation was still in its infancy, when it's after it escaped from Egypt and before they entered to the Promised Land. And this honor your father and mother, honor your parents, is the fifth commandment in the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. So let's take a look at the Ten Commandments. We are very familiar with this. And as we know, the first part or the first half of the Ten Commandments has to do with how we should live our life before our God. So it's talking about our relationship with our Lord. And the second half of the Ten Commandments has to do with how we should live our life with people in regarding to how we relate to people. And honor your father and mother is right at the middle, almost at the middle of these Ten Commandments. And so some of the theologians, they suggest that the honor your father and mother, this fifth commandment, is belong to the second half of the Ten Commandments, because this has to do with how we should live our life with one another. In this case, it's between children and parents. But some think that the honor your father and mother actually is belong to the first part of the Ten Commandments, because when we honor our parents, we honor God. And we do this to please Christ. And this is the only commandments come with a promise. And what is the promise? The promise is that your days may be long in the land, and the Lord your God is giving you. And if we go back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 3, Paul is actually referenced to the fifth commandment. And the promise is that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So what is the promise? The promise is that you will enjoy long life and you will enjoy the blessing of God. Let's go to verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, the father here, in the original Greek text, the word father actually is parents. But especially father. Father has the spiritual leadership role in a family. And this is ultimately father's responsibility to teach and to discipline our children. As the Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 6, verse 4 says, it say that bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, after the Ten Commandments were given to the Israelite people, God talked to the Israelite people before they went into the Promised Land through Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Here, God said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then here is the great commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. But not only that, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and shall write them on the foot at the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Here God told the Father, you shall teach my commandment diligently to your children in any way, anyhow, anywhere, anytime you can, in such a way that your children cannot escape from the teaching. And today, if we apply to our family, a Christ-centered family should be saturated and should be dominated by God's word. But today, we know that in many families, even in Christian family, this is not happening. There are many other stuffs and many other things tend to dominate. We are living in a society that the families are continuously being attacked. There are different kinds of social movement or revolution started in the Western world, in the Western society decades ago. This movement, this revolution have done so much damage to the fabric of families. The sexual revolution started in the 60s. The feminist movement, post-choice, alternative lifestyle, and so on. And one of this revolution is the revolution on how to raise children. It started in the 70s and took root in the 80s. And the revolution makes parenting is so much more challenging and difficult. And namely, upholding and teaching children's self-esteem. And this is what the school, the media, and the society are teaching our children. And you know what? Children having self-esteem is a very good thing. As long as they have a heart to fear God. As long as they are a God-fearing individual. As long as they understand that there is a God-ordained authority over them. And they submit and they obey to that authority. And this can only happen if our children, if their hearts are governed and are saturated and are taught by the word of God. And since this revolution started in the 70s and 80s, 30 years later, some of these experts, they admit that this has been a horrible experiment, a disaster. What the society has produced is a generation of self-centered, self-conceited rebels. They have the sense of entitlement. They think that they are entitled to anything they want. When something is given to them, they think that it's their right. Instead of they think that it's a privilege to them to have them. And they like to challenge authority. They like to challenge any authorities. This self-promoting, feel-good philosophy is in completely opposite from the submission and the obedience taught in the Bible. And this upholding children's self-esteem teaching philosophy is still very much alive and well in our public school today. And it's being ministered to our children today. According to my source, and without disclosing the source, I want to share something newly implemented in the public school recently, as recent as early this year. In a school where the principal asked the teachers to sign a document. Now, without disclosing the title of the document, basically, I just generally share the information with you. The document basically introduced and outlined some attitude and improve practices of how teachers should interact with the students and their parents. Now, in the document, it started by saying that your students are your customers. So what does it mean? If the student is your customer, then you are not a teacher to the student. You are the education service provider. And your student are not your student, then they are your customer. Now, and then it goes on and remind the teacher that their customers wants to feel important. Your customer wants to feel that their wants are worthy listening to and acting up on. And then it goes on to very detail on how to provide an outstanding customer service to your kids. I'm not through yet. Now, because of time, I just give you one example in this document of outstanding customer service, namely friendliness. Now, this is how to define friendliness, how to practice friendliness to the students. Consider the 15-5 rule for interacting in hallways. Make eye contact, acknowledge any customer as 15 feet. At 5 feet, offer a smile and extend a friendly greeting. Not from the student to the teacher, this is from the teacher to the student. Be aware of your body language, especially when you are tired, stressed, or otherwise having a bad day. It's no kidding. Is Christina here? Try this in your home school on Elijah. He'll like it. Are you kidding me? I remember when I was a kid, it doesn't matter whether it's elementary school or secondary school. In Hong Kong, they call it secondary school. I was taught this is how I should treat my teacher, right? To be respectful. And when I see my teacher, I greet them. And I remember in those days, if I want to talk, I have to put up my hand. And if the teacher allows you to talk, they signal you, and then you put down your hand, you stand up before you talk, right? In those days, it's considered to be very disrespectful if we talk to our teacher by not standing up, by just sitting down. And 50 years later, the way the public school teaching children is completely upside down. I mean, can you imagine what the teacher has to go through in the school? This is insane. The school system is acting fuel to the fire, as if the student in the school are not bad enough. Now, teacher, this is your turn to make it really worse. Now, and we should not be surprised, because all these movements started in the Western society after the Second World War, during peacetime. Peacetime meaning a period where a country is not at war. But the spiritual warfare actually has been going on. As he sees fit, Satan has been using different movements, different social revolution, philosophy, raging war against God's church, against families. Parents, children, we need to be able to see through what Satan is trying to do to our children, to our family, to our church, and do not fall into their scheme. Parents, be your children's parents. Do not let anyone be your parent to your children's parents. As Ephesians here, Paul commanded us, teach them, discipline them. Now, Dr. Dobson of the Focus on the Family in his book, The Strong-Willed Child, say there are two kinds of kids, the compliant child and the defiant child. So, children, ask yourself, are you a compliance kind or you are the defiant kind? The Bible tells us that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, ungodly, and so on. Parents, again, children are not naturally going to obey you. They must be taught respect, they must be taught obedience, and they must be disciplined for disobedience and disrespect. Now, this is for young parents with young kids. This is for you. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. We are talking about corporal punishment here. God tells us that bad behavior should be responded with immediate physical pain consequences. One more. Proverbs chapter 23, 13 to 14. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. God tells parents to physically punish a child by striking him on the backside to save him from hell. And no wonder there's such a movement in the unbelief, non-Christian world to get rid of corporal punishment. Now, this was a presentation slide from a conference I attended about 9 years ago. And it was a mobile phone conference. Actually, this is more like a mobile phone consortium attended by many mobile phone operators like Verizon, T-Mobile, AT&T, and many other operators in the other countries, and also the mobile phone companies like Apple, Samsung, and so on. And the presenter who presented these slides, what he tried to do is to convince the operators to massively deploy 4G LTE in their network. So that was about 9 years ago. Now, so they present some statistics to the audience. These statistics is based on two groups of people. The so-called Gen Y or Generation Y, at that time they were between 18 to 24. So these are our young adults now. And the other group is the baby boomer. At that time, anybody older than 45 years old. So when I look at that slide at that time, I found out that Matthew, my son, and myself were part of the statistics. And that's why it hit home. Now, what it told us was, back then, like almost half of the Gen Y people is already using the mobile phone instead of computer to access to internet. And for the older folks, the percentage was lower, and still about half of them rely on computer. Now imagine people at the conference when they look at this. Now, for people in the mobile phone business, this is a great news, because finally, mobility internet become a reality, and they translate to revenue, right? Translate to money. But for parents, this message tells us that this is going to give us even a greater challenge in parenting. Now, this number, of course, is much bigger now. Like for the Gen Y, for the young adult, the number is close to 100% probably. I don't have the new data to use mobile phone to access the internet. Even for the baby boomers, they are like more than 50, 55 now. The number must be much higher than 21% now. Computer was already bad enough, right, in terms of policing our children of what they see and what they learn in the internet. Now, internet can be accessed anytime, anywhere by our children with a smartphone, including in the privacy of the bedrooms. You see the small print on the top right corner, it says broadband. Broadband meaning high speed. It means it supports not only download, but streaming video wirelessly. It means that they can watch anything, anytime, anywhere. So parents, our kids are vulnerable. They may or may not realize that they are being influenced by the media, their peers in the social network, the pop culture, anywhere, all the time. They can see, learn anything, anytime, anywhere over the internet. Some of these things can make our children be a better person, make them a more knowledgeable person, but some of these things can pull them away from God, can have lasting negative impact, and can even destroy them. So, children, ask yourself, are you better off or getting worse spiritually because you own a smartphone? Jesus said, if your eyes causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. If your phone causes you to sin, seriously consider get rid of your phone. My wife Melina, from time to time, she receives professional training at work. And after one of those trainings, she came home and she shared with me what she has learned one time. And she told me that apparently the county government, when they budget how much money they need to budget to build prison, jail, and one of the data they use is based on the dropout rate of third grade. Meaning, third grade meaning 8 years old kids. What they tell us is the behavior of an 8 years old kid, a third grade kids, can determine what they are going to be like when they become adult. So I find it quite amazing, right? So I did some research myself, and I came across this, there was a study conducted by Harvard University and was published in their Journal of Criminal Law and Criminology some years ago. Now, the study involved a sample of 1,000 5 to 6 years old kids. And they observed these kids and also observed their home, their families, to determine their future behavior. And then 5 years later, when they are 10 years old, about 10 years old, they were able to achieve 90% accuracy of their prediction. Now, in the study, they discovered some crucial factors or lacking thereof in predicting delinquency of this 5 to 6 years old. These factors, the first one is father discipline. The discipline must be fair and consistent. Mother's supervision, meaning with her mothers around. Mother's and father's affection for each other. Father loves mom, mom loves father. Family's cohesiveness, meaning the parents and the children, everybody in the family has to be united. And if these five, and they found that if these 5 and 6 years old kids, when they were raised without father disciplines, without mother's supervision, mom and dad fight all the time. The family within the family is not cohesive. The studies say 90% of these kids, even before they reach the adulthood, even when they are only about 10, that's why it's called delinquency. Delinquency meaning minor or children get into trouble with the law. And they end up in prison. This is very much aligned with actually what the Bible has been telling us, right? It doesn't take, it's not a rocket science. It doesn't take a PhD in criminology to figure this out, actually. In ancient time, Proverbs already tell us, if children do not listen and obey to parents' teaching, the result is not good. So I hope none of our families are like this. And if we have problem with any of this area in our family, we need to repent. We need to take corrective action. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6, the first part of verse 4. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Now the parents may say, are you kidding me? I mean, my kids just get angry if I punish them, if I don't give what they want, right? Now, but here we are talking about do not do or do not say things that cause bitterness, hostility in home, and destroy the relationship. You remember the corporal punishment I talked about? We should never minister corporal punishment to our kids when we are angry. And because if we cross the line, it can cause bitterness. And some of this bitterness, if it's happened all the time, it can cause lasting bitterness even when they are in their adulthood. So as a father, allow me to share some of the do not do. If we do, it will provoke, it will irritate our children. I have failed in some of these areas, so just tell you ahead of time. Favoritism, this is a very bad one. For those who have multiple kids, don't ever say, why can't you be like your sister? I mean, things like that, it's really provoke our children because they will hate you. They will hate their siblings. It can cause lasting bitterness. When we fail to walk the talk, this frustrates and confuses our kids if we don't do what we preach. They think that we are hypocrites. They think that we are walking liars. They think that we are liars in action. And this makes us an ineffective parent. When we treat our spouse badly, we talked about this earlier in the statistic. When parents fight all the time, this makes our kids, they don't feel safe when the parents do that. And also in a Christian family, this is a very bad witness to our kids. When we teach our kids to love and we don't love each other, we fight each other, it's provoke our kids. Unrealistic expectation. Let them be what they are capable of. Especially in some cultures, we force them to be a high achiever because of our own pride. And this is one of the no-no. This can provoke our kids. And the last one here is over, I mean, it can be many other reasons, but I just highlight a few of them. Overprotecting. We need to let go of our kids, let them grow. So let me continue because of time. So let me, before I wrap up, I'd like to share a personal testimony with you. When I was a kid, my worst year was sixth grade. Now, I went to a private Christian school. Now, because this is a private school, so they can have any rules they want. So one of the rules is if you commit the three small offenses, it's equal to one big offense. And if you committed three big offenses in one school year, you got kicked out. So that is the rule. And when I was in grade six, I committed two big offenses and two small offenses. God was so merciful to me. One more small offense, I got kicked out, but I stayed. Now, my teacher regarded me as good for nothing. This is what my teacher told me, I remember. You are good for nothing. You remember the song Amazing Grace? How sweet the song that saved a wretch like me. It was me. I was that wretch. But God can save a wretch like me. And this was grace. Amazing grace. God's irresistible grace. And God loves me. He was so patient with me. He gave me many second chances. Parents, I share this story with you is to encourage you. Be gracious to our children. If you have defiant kids, no matter how bad it looks, don't give up. Be patient with them. There's hope. Love them. Pray for them. Pray for ourselves. Think of ourselves as God's children. We are also a defiant, rebellious child to our God. So let's go back to the scripture today. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4 to wrap up my sermon today. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. And this is God's word. Church, try to read this from God's perspective. We are all God's children. Obey and honor our God, all of us. Children, God ordained your parents having authority over you. So obey and honor your parents. And parents, be your children's parents. Don't be a dispensable parent. Don't let anyone take away your God-given responsibility. Teach them, discipline them, love them. Love them unconditionally and love them sacrificially. Love, teach, discipline your children. Like the way our God loves us, teach us, and discipline us. Never give up. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Even though we are a bunch of rebellion, disobedient children, but you love us. You have infinite patience with us. You give us many second chances, young and old. So Lord, this morning, as we have the desire to have all of our family as Christ-centered families, godly families, Lord, help us. We need you. We need you to be our Lord of our family. May your word saturate our heart and teach us to love one another within the family. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.